The sermon that I have prepared for us this morning is titled, Learning to Pray Honestly. And to introduce it, I would just like to read Psalm 88. I'll let Psalm 88 be the introduction to the sermon. So if you'd like to, you can turn there or you can listen. I'll be reading from the ESV, Psalm 88. It says, O Lord God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. You know, when we look at the book of Psalms, we see a wide range of categories that we could put those Psalms into. There's a wide variety of emotions and circumstances that the Psalms convey or that they're written in. There are Psalms that can be considered Psalms of praise or thanksgiving, Psalms of wisdom. There are royal psalms that focus on the kingship. There are also psalms of history or imprecatory psalms that are written directly in regards to the enemies of the one that is writing. But this psalm, like the psalm that was read for us at the beginning of services, is a psalm of lament. And a lament is a particular kind of prayer. It is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow to God. And interestingly, between 30 and 50% of the Psalms can be categorized as laments, either from a communal perspective or an individual perspective. Between 30 and 50% of the Psalms are actually Psalms like this, Psalms of lament. Around 70% of the Psalms contain some amount of lamenting within them. But this psalm in particular is a very heavy one. If you might have noticed that when Psalm 13 was read at the beginning of Scripture, that at the beginning of services, that at the end of it, it comes back and affirms trust in God despite the sorrow and despite the grief. And most of the Psalms of lament do that. They will talk about the difficult circumstances that the psalmist is facing, and at the end he'll come back and say, and yet I put my trust in God, or something like that. But this psalm, The last word, at least in my translation, is the word darkness. This psalm in particular has been called the darkest psalm in the Psalter, both figuratively and literally. And what you might have noticed is that Heman, the Ezraite who writes this, cries out to God with some real frustration. He's not trying to pretend that he doesn't feel the way that he feels. He is voicing his complaints to God. And not only does he ask for help with the problems he's facing, but he explains them in agonizing detail. He goes through his situation and lays it out to the Lord. But as he lays out his complaints, he's even so bold as to direct his disappointment and his frustration at God himself. And perhaps that's the part of the psalm that makes us the most uncomfortable. That's the part of the laments that might make us feel the most uneasy. The very last verse of the psalm is Heman saying to God, "You have caused this misery and darkness." That's pretty heavy stuff. And so what I want us to think about this morning is, how often do we lament? How often do our prayers sound anything like this prayer that God has preserved for us to have in Psalm 88? What percentage of your prayers are prayers of lament? And if our prayers never sound anything like this, why is that? Is it because we have nothing to lament about? Is it because we have no struggles or disappointments or frustrations or grief or sorrow? Or is it because we're not really comfortable praying honestly? Is it because we feel uncomfortable saying to God how we really feel? In the New Testament, Peter writes to Christians in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. And he tells them that they should be casting all their anxieties on God. And he says, because he cares for you. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I want to suggest that when we learn to do that, when we learn to really cast our anxieties on him, that Psalm 88 is a good picture of what that will look like sometimes. That this is what that sounds like sometimes. And so honest prayer actually takes more faith, not less. Now, if we think about that for very long, I think that we'll understand that that just makes sense. After all, in our human relationships, who is it that you feel the most willing to be honest with? Who is it that you talk to in a way that's totally transparent, where you're not trying to be somebody you're not trying to put on a good face? It would be the people that you're closest to, you know? Like, we all do this. You come to worship, you go to work, you go to school, and you're conscientious about the way other people see you, and, you know, you want to put on a good face and seem like you've got it all together, but you've probably got a few people in your life that you can just really be real with. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a close friend. But the people that we are the most honest with, the people that we feel the most comfortable being open with, are the people that we're closest to. And the very same is true with God. I think sometimes what we try to do with God is we try to treat him sort of like a dinner guest, you know? Keep him at arm's length. Keep the conversation light. Keep it positive. Don't get overly emotional or personal. But someone who has developed a real relationship with God will feel comfortable talking to him in a totally different way. Now, you might say, okay, wait a second, but we still need to be reverent, right? Absolutely, we do. God deserves our respect. God deserves our reverence. He is our Father, but he's also our King. We ought to have both intimacy and respect for him. But reverence might sound different than the way that we think sometimes. In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer talks about Jesus and the way that he prayed, and I just want you to notice this. Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 7, it says, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." Now, the verse that we want to focus on is verse 7. You see what it says here about Jesus' prayers? It says that they were offered up with loud cries and tears, and that he was heard because of his reverence. Now, if you were to picture in your mind what it looks like to be reverent, I would venture to guess that this is not the picture you would come up with. Normally, when we think about somebody being reverent, we think about somebody being very still, very quiet, you know, very solemn. But here, it talks about Jesus praying with loud cries and tears and being heard because of his reverence. You know, reverent prayers can also be loud and emotional. And in fact, reverence will produce more passion in our prayers, not less. And I want to suggest that the reason why is because the way that we pray is a direct result of the way we think about God. The way we pray is a result of what we actually believe about him. If we believe that God is small and distant, then our prayers will be weak and fake. But if we really believe that God is powerful and close to us, then our prayers will be fervent and honest. And so here's what I want to do for the rest of our time this morning. I want to discuss with you three beliefs that will produce honest prayer. Three things that, if we really do believe them, will lead us to praying honestly and boldly and transparently, just like we read in Psalm 88, and that we can read in the laments of the Psalms. The first is that we have to believe that God is always in control. You know, that's what Jesus believed. In what we just read in Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about how he offered up prayer to God in verse 7, but it talked about God as being him who was able to save him from death. Jesus knew that God could save him from the cross. Jesus knew that God could answer the prayer of letting the cup pass from him, but God chose not to. You know, one of the most poignant psalms of lament is actually Psalm 22. If you go to Psalm 22, this is another one that we could categorize as a lament. And right away, you'll see that this is a psalm that was very personal to Jesus. Psalm 22 and verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Now, I know that this psalm ends with hope, and this psalm ends with comfort, and this psalm ends with triumph, much like Jesus' experience on the cross. I believe that Jesus quoted this psalm on the cross because he wanted people to understand the entire context of it, to understand that though this is a period of suffering and despair, it ends with glory and blessing and triumph. But when Jesus felt abandoned by God, he said so. When Jesus felt forsaken, he said so. He quoted a psalm of lament. And if Jesus felt forsaken at times, then we have to expect that there will be times when we feel the same way. And when we do, we should say so. See, if we didn't believe that God was actually in control, then we wouldn't feel any sense of frustration about pain or suffering. You know, if God is not really in control, if there are things that happen apart from God's allowing them to happen, then of course we can't blame him when bad things happen. We can't be frustrated with God. We can't be disappointed with him. But if we really do believe that God is in control, that nothing happens outside of his control, that he is sovereign, then what that means is, when bad things happen to us, it's only natural for us to look to him and ask why. And when we don't understand, when we don't see the purpose, when we don't see the blessings that might come or the opportunities that might result, it's only natural for us to look to God and say, I don't understand why this is happening. I'm frustrated. It doesn't make sense to me. I know that you're good. I know that you're in control. I know that you can make all things work together for good for those who love you. But right now, I just don't understand. And it's because we believe that God's in control that we might be moved to voice our frustrations or our disappointments. And so honesty in prayer comes from having more faith in God's sovereignty, more faith in his goodness, not less. And honest prayer is produced by people who dare to hope in God. But there's a second principle that I think we should also keep in mind, and that is that God already knows your heart. You know, I don't know who we think we're fooling sometimes, but when we feel frustrated or disappointed or upset, if we don't say so, then we're not hiding anything from God that he doesn't already know. Let's go back to the example of the dinner guest. Or better yet, you could think about somebody like a coworker. I know that we've all got things going on in our lives that are very personal. But imagine you've been feeling anxious. Imagine that you've been feeling stressed about something. Maybe you and your spouse have been arguing more. Maybe you've been feeling distant from your children. Maybe you've been wrestling with some deep sense of inadequacy or worthlessness or directionlessness in life, something like that. You've got these very personal kinds of issues that you're working through, but you show up to work on Monday morning and your coworker says, "Hey, how you doing?" What do you say? I mean, usually you don't say, "I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you all about it." No, you paste on a smile, right? And you say, "I'm fine. How are you?" And you know, like, you're not really fine, but he wouldn't understand. And, you know, you don't want to take the time to really explain it to him. Or maybe you just feel embarrassed about it. You know, you don't want him to think that you're having some, like, real problems. And so that's what you do. You smile and you say, "I'm fine." Don't treat God like that. God knows what we need even before we ask him. He understands what's going on inside of us even better than we do. We're not fooling anybody by pretending that we feel something that we don't. See, God wants us to pray not because he needs it, but because we do. And we need to learn to tell God exactly how we feel Because the truth is, he already knows. Now, there's a third principle that I think will also help produce honest prayer in us as well. Not only do we know that God is in control, and not only do we know that God already knows our hearts, but number three is, honest prayer is necessary for authentic spiritual growth. See, I think sometimes what happens is this, is that deep down we know that we shouldn't be feeling the way that we feel, you know. Deep down we know that we should be able to just rejoice in our circumstances. Deep down we know that we ought to be content, we ought to trust God, we shouldn't be bothered, we shouldn't be disturbed. But if the truth is that we are, then the only way that we're ever going to work through that and grow is by being honest about where we're at. It's easy for us to live in denial. It's easy for us to try to hide where we really are. But the only way for us to truly grow and to move forward is by being honest about where we're at. We don't gain anything by praying things that we don't mean. And if we want to grow spiritually, then the only way to do that is to begin by being honest about how we feel. That's actually reflected in several of the Psalms. I told you that Psalm 88 is literally and figuratively the darkest psalm in the Psalter. But most of the laments actually end up in a place of hope. Most of them begin with this very honest declaration to God about, here's how I feel, I'm in despair, I feel like you're not hearing me or with me or helping me, but I will put my faith in God. Let me show you an example of that. Go to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. This is a really beautiful psalm that is also a lament, or at least it begins that way. He says in verse 1, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea. Your paths through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock, by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Do you see the way this psalm shifts its focus as it goes on? He starts off by being very honest and talking about how his soul refuses to be comforted. He talks about in verse 3 that when he remembers God, he moans and his spirit faints. It's like he's having to have his eyelids held open because he's so overcome with all of this sorrow. But then the thought occurs to him in verse 7. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Am I really going to believe that God has just run out of love for me? Is that really what I'm going to conclude here? Do I really think that God has forgotten to be gracious? He says in verse 10, "Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High." And as this very honest prayer continues, you see in verse 11 that he begins to remember the deeds of the Lord. He thinks about the way that God has been there for his people in the past. And he even reflects on the Exodus, how God led his people out of Egyptian slavery. And what he says in verse 19 is very significant. He says, "Your way was through the sea, your paths through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen." God was with his people, even when they couldn't see his physical presence. God was strengthening his people and delivering his people, even though he was invisible. And when we reflect on what God has done in the past, we can be moved to have that same kind of confidence. When we start by saying, "God, I don't see you. God, I don't feel you. God, I feel alone." But then we start to think about how God has been there for us in the past. Well, then we can grow to trusting him more in the future. Let me show you one more psalm that demonstrates this. Psalm 73. Psalm 73 is not probably technically a lament, but it's a very well-known psalm written by a man named Asaph. And if you look in verses 1 through 3, he reflects on an experience that he had that I think fits into what we're talking about here. Psalm 73 in verse 1. He says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Asaph says, "Look, I know that my attitude wasn't what it should have been. I know that I wasn't thinking about things the way that I should have thought about them. I almost stumbled because the truth is I was envious of the wicked. And I was seeing how bad people were prospering and good people were suffering, and it made me start to question God and what he was up to." Look in verse 21. He says, "When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." I like how when Asaph reflects on his thoughts and his attitudes, in verse 21, he says that his soul was embittered. In verse 22, he says, "I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you." But it was because Asaph was honest about how he was feeling that he was led to a greater trust in God in the end. And in the end, he talks about how God is a refuge and a strength to anyone who puts their trust in him. You see, honest prayer is what it looks like when we turn to God as a refuge and a strength. When we are facing difficult things in life, difficult circumstances that we don't understand, when we're wrestling with things that are very hard, we can handle that in a couple of different ways. We can say all the right things to God and pretend like everything is fine and then go try to find comfort and help somewhere else. Or we can come to God and say, this is how I feel. This is what I'm struggling with. Maybe my attitude needs to change. Maybe I need to adjust my heart and my mind. But God, if I can just be really honest with you, I don't understand you right now. But the person who is looking for trust in God is the person who begins by going to God and being honest. And so I believe that if we understand these three things, if we really believe these three things deep down within us, that this is what will produce honest prayer in us. That when we read a lament like Psalm 88, that we don't think, how strange, how disrespectful. Instead, we say, this is a man who has a real relationship with God. This is somebody who believes that God is always in control. This is somebody who believes that God already knows his heart. And that when we pray honestly like that, that's the path to actually growing in our faith and coming to have the peace in the Lord that he wants us to have. I'll just give you a little bit of a personal testimony. My prayer life has waxed and waned over the years. There have been times in my life where I know that I have not prayed as much as I should have or as fervently as I should have. But the times in my life when my prayers have been the most helpful to me have been the times when I have wrestled with God the most. Times when I felt the most confused or frustrated or disappointed. And the truth is, I have prayed silent prayers and I've prayed loud prayers. I've prayed tearful prayers and I've prayed angry prayers. But one thing that I have found is that no matter what is going on, no matter what we're feeling, the very best thing that we can do is to keep praying honestly. Don't stop praying. It's easy for us to just quit. It's easy for us to just pray the things that we think that we're supposed to pray. It's easy for us to just give up altogether. And sometimes it is hard to pray to a God that we can't fully understand. But we have to understand that if he is God, then we won't always fully understand him. There will be questions. There will be times that we are confused or frustrated. But if we want to draw nearer to him, then the only way to do that is by learning to pray honestly, no matter what. Don't stop praying. Don't stop being honest with God in prayer. It's when we develop the habit of doing that, that we can grow in our faith and learn to trust him more. I hope that's encouraging to you. I know that this is probably an angle about prayer that you might not have thought about so much. But what I really believe is that God wants us to have a real relationship with him, and that as we draw closer to him, that we will learn to trust him more. That we'll see that God has never disappointed those who have put their hopes in him. That ultimately he does make all things beautiful in his time. But there will be those times that we don't understand. And the best thing we can do is pray to God in those times. There might be somebody here this morning who has been through some dark times, feels directionless, feels confused, feels frustrated. I can't tell you that I have all of the answers to your questions, but I can tell you that I know the one who can take your questions and give you peace. That if you will entrust yourself to the Lord, that you'll see that there is peace and joy and strength that comes through him. And so if you are outside of Christ, you have the opportunity to draw near to God because of the sacrifice of his Son. Jesus has made it possible for us to boldly approach the throne of grace and find grace to help in times of need. If you want to be joined with Jesus and be able to approach God as his Son, you can do that before you leave. There might be somebody here who wants to share some kind of struggle. Maybe you are already a Christian and you need to confess some sin or you need to ask for help. You have the opportunity to make that known as well. But we want you to know that the Lord is there for you. He is welcoming you. And as his people, we want to encourage you to come to him. If we can help you in some way, please come to the front while we stand and sing.